This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whaingaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have on the show Tracy. Tracy, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. So I haven't had anyone come on with your expertise, which is in homeopathy. So it's really awesome to have you here. So tell us about your journey. How did you get into homeopathy? And maybe you can talk about what that is for people who may not know.
Okay. Thanks for having me. This is great. Back in the 90s, 1993, I was asked to be a support person at a birth for a friend of mine, a home birth. And so I trotted along there when she went into labour. And 65 hours later, she was still in labour and no baby. And it was about 8 o'clock at night on a Friday night, and the midwife said, "So you're getting tired and the baby's getting tired. I think I'm going to try one more thing, and if it doesn't work, I really think we need to go to hospital. So I'm going to ring a homeopath." And I had no idea what that was. She got on the phone and she rang somebody and answered some really strange questions that really didn't make sense to me. Mm. And then my friend's husband was sent off to some random letterbox in Island Bay to pick up a little packet of white pills that he brought back. And by this stage, I'm thinking, I think we're probably going to be going to hospital. And the midwife put one pill under my friend's tongue, and she went within an hour. She was in absolutely active labour, and the baby was born in the pool, in the lounge, as planned. And I thought, I have no idea what just happened then, but I want to know more about it.
Yeah.
So that was my first introduction to homeopathy. I didn't know the word, I didn't know it existed. I went on after that to have my own baby, and I made sure that I had the same midwife, and I had learnt a little bit about homeopathy, and I had a 7-hour home birth, water birth at home. So then when my baby was about 8 months old, I was wondering what I was going to be doing with my brain, because it felt like it was getting a little bit slow from staying at home. And I was a kindergarten teacher before that, so I wasn't going back to work because I wanted to be at home with my baby. And I thought, I wonder about homeopathy. So I looked up study in New Zealand, and back in the 80s, in the 90s, there was three or four colleges in those days, and the study was one weekend a month for 4 years. So I started studying. So that was in 1995. I started studying and graduated in 1998, and I've been in practice ever since.
All right.
Yeah. So
how are you finding it? Has it been what you expected?
Yeah, it's been that and more, actually. It's been the best thing I've ever done. Mm. You know, from the moment that I started studying, I kind of felt like I'd come home to something. It made total sense to me. I had suffered a lot of ill health as a child from a lot of antibiotics as a child for tonsillitis, and had grown up and was suffering quite a few effects as an adult, long-term sort of chronic illness. And homeopathy provided the answer to getting on top of that and looking at my health in a different kind of way and reclaiming my health, really, because what had happened for me through my childhood was that slowly over time, one antibiotic after another, after another, after another, maybe four lots of antibiotics a year for most of my childhood through to about the age of 15 or 16, glandular fever at 18. Had my gallbladder out at 20. Through that whole journey, and I was chronically asthmatic from one, I'd really lost all empowerment around my health. I just was completely reliant on medicine to get me through each health crisis that I had. And when I saw that remedy work at the birth that night, what I thought was that felt like a miracle. You know, it was like that we were, you know, all indicators were saying that this baby was stuck and we were going to be heading to hospital. And one tiny white pill just turned it around within an hour. So for me, from the life that I had led up until that point, I was 21. From the life that I'd led up until that point, I never realise that something natural could have such a profound effect on the healing, on the human body. And I'd certainly never experienced it myself. So for me to see it right in front of me, it gave me hope, you know, for, okay, so if it can do that, what else can it do? And so I started studying and realized, wow, what can it not do? It's such a profound medicine, and the scope of practice is as broad as the human being. Whatever ails us as humans, whether it is physical or mental or emotional, spiritual even, there is an answer and there is support in the philosophy of homeopathy. So for me, it's not straightforward. It's a really complicated system of medicine, but it has the potential to help people get to what's really going on, what the root cause of their ailing is, and to find solutions to overcome and resolve.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, with homeopathy and you're giving this medicine, the person, do they need to change anything of their lifestyle, or can they continue as is?
So,
how does the
yes, the answer is yes. Often there are things that need to change. It's not always essential that these changes have to happen straight away. So, what I tend to find is, so I'll meet someone for the first time and I have an hour and a half with them for the first consultation. And there may be a lot of things that person's doing that is not great for their well-being. You know, they may not be eating well, they may be having a lot of stimulants, they may be staying up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, they may be in circumstances that are incredibly stressful, work or relationship circumstances that are incredibly stressful. And I can look at that whole picture and go, yeah, there's some changes that need to be made there. But what I find is that I don't go there first. What I do is I just go with who is presenting right now and let me work with you right now as you are. And what I often find, so I will prescribe after that first consultation, what I find is that when they come back, if my prescription has been on the money, when they come back, they will say, actually, I've stopped drinking 10 cups of coffee a day and I've reduced my alcohol intake down to, I realize that I really shouldn't be drinking through the week, or I'm suddenly feeling like I want to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night rather than 2. So what homeopathy can do is it can help to create that change without having to actually go down the checklist of the stuff that they need to do. And then once that's happened and they've realized that there are changes that they want to start making, then we can start to have that conversation there. It's often what's lovely about that is they've opened that idea for themselves without me sitting here going, well, you know, you need to cut down that smoking and so on. It feels much more likely that they're going to be able to uphold those changes if they've actually found their way to those decisions themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like quite the holistic pill. Yeah. So it's not only helping with the symptoms, but helping with seeing a possible way that the symptoms are being caused and the lifestyle choices they're making.
Yeah, it's almost like it clears it. You see the wood for the trees. Mm. You know, it's like, because I think what happens is that we end up becoming an enigma to ourselves. You know, as we navigate our way through life, we have so many factors in life that cause us to get kind of out of balance, and the more things that happen, the more we lose our way. You know, so you might, as an example, you might go through some kind of trauma and you get knocked over by that trauma for days or weeks or months. Well, something else happens at that time. So you go through some kind of trauma, then stress comes up at work, for example, or then your child goes through something of their own life at school or in their own life. And so all of a sudden, you're not just trying to recover from the original trauma. What you're doing is you're also navigating and trying to find strategies at work, and you're trying to help your child get through whatever's going on for them. And then somebody might get really sick, and you know. So what happens is that, and that's what life's about, right? So not the problem with life is that usually we don't just have one thing happen. It's not that gentle with us. It often throws a few things at us at a time. So what happens is we get completely lost. We can't we can't figure out what it is that we need to do first or next or what. So you spend an hour and a half talking to me about all those things. It's kind of like a big download, like what's going on in your life? What are you suffering from? And tell me what else, what's going on. So I get this big download about the biggest and most important things that are happening right now. And through that, I can start understanding how that person has got out of balance and where I think the biggest issues are, because there's often a number of issues, but you've got to start with one at a time often. Yeah. And I give a remedy that suits the most clear picture around the biggest issues that are happening right now. And what it does, homeopathy is not like taking a supplement. Homeopathy is like taking an instruction. It's an energetic medicine. So when you take a homeopathic remedy, you're taking an instruction to the vital force. So our life force or vital force that governs our entire being. The remedy acts like an instruction that says, try and do it this way. And so what happens is that the body takes on that instruction and gives it a go. And if the instruction's right, then things start to wibble wobble their way back into balance. And with that, the person gets clarity. So it's like it clears, the fog clears. So they start to feel better. So maybe some of the most urgent symptoms start to abate. And then from that, because they're not dealing with a migraine 5 out of 7 days, actually their energy's a bit better. So now their energy's a bit better. They can actually start to look at something else that they haven't quite been bothered to do because it's just all been so overwhelming. So then their energy gets a bit better. So then they make another health choice and then that adds, right? So
the migraine goes away, the energy gets better, they no longer feel the need for coffee, they drink more water naturally.
That's
and
right.
Then without
that's
your
right.
remedies, the migraine no longer comes back because
right.
it was a hydration
that's right.
problem the whole
that's
time.
Right. So it can be the starter for a snowball of really wonderful effects that happen.
Yeah.
And then what happens is, so then they come back and they go, wow, so all of these things have happened. And so I go back to the beginning and say, so you can keep this remedy, keep some doses of this remedy. The next time you can start to feel yourself getting back into that state of stress that you were in when you first came to me, take another dose of the remedy, because the remedy is going to go, come on, remember, we've learnt not to do that. And it acts like a bit of a reminder to the body. Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to. And so it can be a circuit breaker. And then the thing about homeopathy and a lot of natural medicine is that we fundamentally believe that the human body is incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
And that it knows how to heal itself. It just gets lost along the way.
So you're talking about the vital force.
Yeah. The vital force, the way that what we call the vital force is like the energetic body that kind of holds it all together, holds everything. It's where the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual meet. It's sort of the governing force that runs the body.
And that's the force that heals?
Yes.
Like when you get cut?
Yes.
That's the force that heals. Yeah. Is that the force that breathes your lungs
and
beats your heart?
It's the intelligence. It's like the intelligence of the body, the force that says this is what you need to do. So that, you know, there's a whole physical body that has its myriad of processes, but it's something greater than that that actually guides and directs the body where to go, and it incorporates all facets of the person. So mental, emotional, spiritual, it incorporates the person as a whole. And that's what it's, you know, it's the same as chi. It's the same, you know, acupuncturists, you work with chi. It's the same idea. It's the same. We're working with that energy and just using a different modality.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like health is the flow of energy, and any sort of sickness or illness is when it gets stuck.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say trauma is just stuck energy in the body.
Yeah.
So that makes total sense.
Yeah. And what happens is the energy gets stuck, and then the body produces symptoms to tell us that there's energy stuck. So that might be a headache, or it might be a spasm in the shoulder, or it might be some digestive problems, or it might be heart palpitations, or it might be swollen glands. Or so homeopaths use the symptoms as the strongest guide. So when you come to a homeopath, we ask, really, what is the body expressing? Tell me everything that the body's expressing. You know, whether it's I go to bed at night and I'm having nightmares, and this has been going on since I got a new boss at work who's a bit of a bully and has been doing these things. Now I go to bed and I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning sweating with heart palpitations, and I've had a nightmare that, I don't know, anything, you know, I'm being chased by a bear. But even the dream state is important to us. How the unconscious or the subconscious, what is the information that's coming out of there? That's important. How well you're sleeping, and if you're not sleeping well, in what way? What way? Is it that you can't go to sleep at night? Is it that you go to sleep but you wake up in the middle of the night, or you're awake at 4 o'clock in the morning and you can't get back to sleep? How you're eating, how well eating is for you? Do you have an appetite? What are you craving or desiring?
So you take a holistic snapshot
of the person. Of everything lifestyle. As much as possible. Yeah. And so the first consultation is about an hour and a half. Sometimes it can go a little bit more if it's quite a complex case. And then every time I see the person after that, I'm just getting more and more information, because you can only get so much in an hour and a half. And I'm wanting to get as whole a picture as possible of this person, who they are, and then how they get out of balance. So both of those things are really important. Who are you? Who are you as a person? What matters to you? What drives you? You know, what's your body type? What naturally works well for your body in terms of food and life rhythms and those sorts of things? So I want to know that. So I want to know, how are you when you're in a healthy state? And then what is the stresses? And then how are you in this unhealthy state? And those three things are really important to put the whole picture together. So you come to a homeopath and you'll get asked questions about, tell me about your life, like tell me about where did you grow up and what was your family situation and how was life for you, and those sorts of things are important, so that we kind of get this lovely sense of the foundation of you. Where did you come from? Who were your parents? Who were your grandparents? You know, what's the legacies and the stories and the life experience that's been passed down to you, so that we get a good sense of who this person is? And then, what is life about? What are the stresses of life? What gets you down? What energizes you? And then, what has gone wrong? And where have you got stuck? And what hasn't had resolution? So
it's very personalized.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what about, can you just buy these remedies off the store shelf?
Yeah, so homeopathy is available in a over-the-counter way for acute illness. Yet, so you may have seen it in pharmacies or in health food shops. You can generally get, usually places will have maybe up to 20 different homeopathic remedies. And there's some remedies that are really well known for certain things. One of them being arnica, probably is the most well-known remedy. Arnica is a great remedy for bruising, bleeding, trauma to the tissue. It's also an amazing remedy for shock. It's a great remedy for overexertion. So where, you know, that feeling of you decide to randomly go and do a four-day tramp, and you have hardly even done any walking for the last 6 months, and after the first day you're dying from the pack being on your back and the mountain that you've climbed. And that complete strain and exhaustion of the body, a dose of homeopathy can completely resolve that overnight and have you good to go the next day. So it's an amazing remedy for just that strain, and where every muscle in your body has just done way too much. You can get that in the garden, you know, a whole day in the garden digging, and you get inside at the end of the day and go, I'm going to pay for that in the morning. A dose of arnica will just help to resolve that overnight with a good night's sleep. So,
and does it say that on the packet? Dosage, or how do you?
So there is dosage on. So there is a couple of companies in New Zealand that would be well known to many who have used it. Weleda and Natrapharm, and they produce some remedies, not any means the whole range, but they produce sort of the retail market. They have the remedies on the retail market. So remedies will have a standard dose that, because they're being sold to the public, there will be a standard dose on the on the packaging, but you're best if you're new to homeopathy to actually get advice. Because for me, for example, if I've done an acute prescription to somebody and they who's not near me, you know, so they might, because I work with people all over the country and internationally, so I might say I'm working with someone in Dunedin, and I'll say, oh, you need to, the remedy that you need is called Rustox, go and see if you can get it from the health food shop down the road. And then I say, just ignore the instructions on the bottle. I'm going to give you the instructions because the instructions on the packaging is just kind of a broad spectrum.
So that's what I was trying to get to. People can get it over the counter, but do you still think it's good to get advice on what dosage? Because it might be a waste of money just taking the standard.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the over-the-counter stuff is that's how a lot of people come to homeopathy. They walk into a health food shop and they say, I've got conjunctivitis, do you have anything for it? And the homeopath or the worker who is in the shop may say, yeah, here's some Euphrasia, and they take it home and they follow the instructions, and 3 days later the conjunctivitis is gone, and it's like, oh, that's, and they would have followed the instructions on the packet. But in a perfect world, you've got a professional on board to tell you how to do it well. Yeah.
For those people who find it difficult to understand the whole vital force aspect and how it's the energy that's causing health, and if it gets stuck, it causes illness, I would suggest you look up, I think it's Rupert Sheldrake, Morphogenic Fields. He talks about, like, for instance, how does a fertilized egg become a baby? And that's because the energy, the field is already there. The form is there, and the physical aspect, all those cells, they divide and become the form. So the form's first, and then the physical comes after. Same thing with reptiles, when they lose limbs and it grows back, that's because the physical form is gone, but the energetic form is still there. So that's what I mean by that's what Sheldrake means by morphological fields, and that's what we're talking about with stuck energy. So when there's trauma, could be emotional, physical, that physical part is reflecting the energy, and it can actually change it. So the field changes. And a lot of people, especially in Western medicine, it's focusing on the physical aspect. But what homeopathy does, and other stuff like acupuncture, possibly chiropractor, Reiki, what that does is it reminds or gives instructions to the energy form to go back to how it should be.
Yeah.
And once you do that, that's unblocked, the energy flows, and then the physical healing can begin properly.
Yeah.
So that may or may not make sense, but yeah, look up Rupert Sheldrake. So let's get into what homeopathy is. Now, there's a lot of science that says it's woo-woo, but then there's a lot more science that says it's science. And I just want to talk a bit about the history of it in New Zealand. New Zealand's first medical journal was called the Homeopathic Echo, and it was established by Dr. Carl Frank Fisher in 1855, and it reached as far as Australia. So New Zealand's first medical journal was based on homeopathy. Now, the first public hospitals in New Zealand opened in Auckland and Wellington in 1847, but New Zealand had its own homeopathic hospital and dispensary, and that was in Princes Street in Auckland, and that opened in 1858. It was open for 4 years with a 70% cure rate for inpatients, and a 61% cure rate for outpatients, and the overall mortality was 2.2%. Now, I can't compare that to how the hospitals are doing today, but it sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And it shut down 4 years later due to lack of funding and resourcing. And also, in New Zealand, the Pharmacy Act of 1880 recognized the validity of homeopathy. So in New Zealand's own history, we see that it was quite a valid practice.
Yeah.
And it's valid internationally. The royal family have their own personalized
homeopath.
Yep. So, yeah, if there's people doubting this, I would, ask you to open your mind, get curious, look more into it. And Tracy, would you be able to share how it works?
So can I start with the history of it itself?
Sounds good.
The creator or the scientist behind homeopathy was a doctor called Samuel Hahnemann, and he was a German doctor in the late 1700s. I think he was born in 1755, and he was married. He had 9 children, and he was fluent in 7 languages, and he was a medical doctor. And he became very disillusioned with medicine back in those days. He had found that people either, his clients, patients, either never got better, or they got better but only for the symptoms to recur again, and then he couldn't solve that. Or they would suffer from the side effects of the medicine that he was giving them to try and cure the original complaint, which would then cause subsequent complaints. So he found himself going around in circles, and he was felt very disillusioned, and so he decided to give up practice. But he had, 9 children to feed, and he decided, because he was fluent in 7 languages, that he would, while he was trying to find a new medicine, he would take on a job translating medical text. So he starts on a journey of exploring everything to do with the natural world and medicine and everything that he knew about it, and reaching out, and he's translating medical texts for the income for the family. And one day he reads that quinine is being used to cure malaria, and the reason given is because it's bitter and an astringent to the stomach. And he went, well, that doesn't kind of make sense, because there's many things that are bitter and many things that are astringent to the stomach, and that really has no relationship to malaria or to why that would be curative for malaria, which is intermittent fever. So he got himself some quinine, and he started taking a dram of quinine every day, and he developed the symptoms of malaria. And when he stopped taking the quinine, the symptoms went away. And he had a number of colleagues who were really quite fascinated with what he was up to. And so he got them all to take some quinine. So all of them, all of his kind of mates, he gave them all some quinine, and they all started taking a wee dram every day, and they all came down with malaria. And when they stopped taking it, the symptoms all went away. And he even gave some to his kids, because is it the same in kids as in adults? And lo and behold, his kids started developing the symptoms of malaria as well, and they went away when he stopped. So he deduced that it wasn't because the quinine or cinchona bark, which is the name of the plant, it wasn't because it was bitter and astringent to the stomach. It was because it could cause the symptoms in the healthy, and so therefore it could cure the symptoms in the sick. So the rest of his life and his career was about this idea of like cures like. What can cause symptoms in the healthy? Can it also cure the same symptoms in the sick? And so he just explored for the rest of his life. He looked at substance, he looked at every kind of substance that was part of, first of all, what substances were being used in medicine in those days. He looked at all of those, what do those substances cause in the healthy? Can they be cured in the unwell? So the problem was that, as an example, so mercury was being used in medicine back then. And also he knew that there was evidence of the poisoning effects that would occur if you used mercury in medicine. There was also the side effects. So he had sort of some information about homeopathy, but he couldn't then go and give his friends and take for himself and give his children a little bit of mercury to experiment with it. So he realized that there needed to be a way to apply substance to the body without causing the toxic effect, and that was where the potentization journey came for him. How can I give a substance without it poisoning or killing the person that I'm giving in order to help them? So he developed, and there's a whole science and story about the way that you potentize homeopathy, or how he came to that. But the short story is that you dilute a substance, you take a drop of a substance and you dilute it in 99 drops of alcohol. So as an example, if you're going to make a remedy from a herb, you take one drop of the herb, put it in 99 drops of alcohol, and you shake it or succuss it, which is a vigorous shaking. And then you take one drop of that and you put it in 99 drops of alcohol and you apply that vigorous shaking. And when you've done it once, that potency is 1C. So the C is the Roman numeral for 100, 1 in 100 drops. You do that 12 times, one drop in 99 drops of alcohol, succuss it, one drop in 99 drops of alcohol, succuss it. By the time you get to 12C, there's no molecules left of the original substance in that vial, but because it's had a succussion action in the middle of it, you've been able to retain an energetic resonance of the product. And so for people who use homeopathy, they would know that they may have had a 30C potency or a 200C potency. What he found was that the more that you potentized a substance in that way, it actually got almost deeper and more powerful in its action.
Not more toxic, though.
No,
less. Just more beneficial.
Yeah, yeah. Less toxic because you're going beyond molecular dose.
Because we're getting rid of the physical but staying with its energy signature.
Yeah, that's right. So he did what was called provings, which was deciding on substance, potentizing them down to a non-molecular level and giving them to a group of people to record symptoms over weeks or a month or so in order to understand a substance at a deeper level. And then all of the information, all of the symptoms that the group provers experienced would be collated, and at the end of that proving he would have a clear picture of the impact of this particular substance on human beings. So for example, if 80% of the group experienced a headache that felt like a nail going into the right temple, he could deduce that it was probably the substance that they'd taken that had caused it. So that remedy would become noted in the write-up of that remedy that it's good for headaches that feel like a nail going into the right temple. So as a homeopath, if I have a client that comes in and tells me that, I can go to my books and see which substance produced that in the proving, and that may be the remedy that the client needs to help cure their migraine or their headache.
And then you use the lifestyle story of that person to deduct the dose? How do you figure that out?
Yes, the vitality of the person can help affect what dose it is. The urgency of the, how urgent is it that we help resolve the symptoms that the person is suffering from can also
how be intense the pain maybe.
Yeah, the age of the person. Mm. Yeah, so a lot of things can determine which dose you use. Yeah. And the other thing is that you could, if I looked up that symptom, a headache like a nail going into the temple, there might actually be, you know, maybe 20 or 30 remedies or substances that actually have that. So my job is to figure out which one of those is the right one for that person. And so that becomes clearer the more I'm asking questions about lots of other things for that person.
Okay.
So one of the reasons of getting a full picture is because now, you know, 230 years later from the inception of homeopathy, there's probably about maybe something like 6,000 remedies that have been proven. Mm. And so there's a lot of crossover. So my job as a bit of a detective is to figure out which is the substance that most suits that what is ailing in this person who's sitting in front of me.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds a lot like, not a lot, but there's the idea in Western medicine where you've got an illness and then you take a pill. But the pill that you take in Western medicine is general. It's not specific at all, right? And also that pill comes with a lot of quote-unquote side effects. Like I keep telling people there's no such thing as a side effect in Western medicine. Let's say a pill comes with 1,000 effects. They can market and sell and make money on one. The other effects, full effects, get called side effects. So they minimize, but they're the exact same effect. But they occur and express in different people, right? So you may take one pill, another person will take one pill, and while it may get rid of your headache, you'll get this side effect of pain in the back. It gets rid of the headache for someone else, but then they get a side effect of going to the toilet a lot. So there's always an effect in medications that you take. They're not side effects, they're effects of the drug. They just sell you the effect they can make money on. But with homeopath, it sounds like there's no negative effects at all.
If you took a homeopathic remedy randomly without a proper consultation, or if you had a consultation and you were prescribed a remedy for maybe 4 or 5 days, but you actually took it for 4 or 5 weeks, what would happen is you could end up approving, if you like, of that remedy, where if you know the experience of being told something too often, you know, it's the same idea.
Oh, when this amount is good, more must be better.
yeah. But that idea of if you're taking a remedy, it's like taking an instruction to the body. So as a homeopath, I'm going to be thinking that we only want to give that instruction 3 times, say, over 3 days, and then we wait and see the response for the body. But somebody might be particularly excitable, and this has happened to me over the years, where someone just goes, I love this remedy. I want to take it all the time. I don't want it to stop. So they just keep on taking it and taking it every day. They don't tell me, you know, they kind of keep it kind of secret. But, or they come back the next time and they say to the follow-up and go, actually, I need to confess. So I've got this symptom. I've suddenly had this symptom appear and I'm okay. So I'm taking note of that symptom. So tell me about, you know, did you follow the instructions of taking the remedy? Well, actually, no, I have to confess. I kept on taking it for 3 weeks rather than 3 days. So what they have ultimately done is they've given their body the instructions so often that the body's kind of going, ah, and it's responding by getting a bit confused and producing another symptom. The thing with homeopathy is that as long as you catch it soon enough, that symptom will just go away as soon as you stop taking the remedy, unlike a lot of conventional medicine where because you're actually taking the real substance, you can end up producing so much poisoning or toxicity in the body that symptom never goes away.
Yeah, the other big difference is Western medicine is mainly focused, well, it affects the physical, whereas homeopathy affects the energy first. But yeah, I could imagine if you're giving the body the same instruction over a long period of time, it's going to forego or forget to do other things.
Yeah.
So that's why you only want to give it a few instructions for a little bit so it doesn't forget the other jobs it has going on, and it's just a reminder to do this job. But yeah, I get it.
One of the things I think this is a big part of the education for someone who's coming into homeopathy is that we are so used to in our conventional medical world to be taking a pill until the bottle's empty, you know, we aren't raised with an appreciation of actually how amazing and powerful the body is in and of itself. So it's actually hard for people to reconcile that. Are you meaning I just take 3 doses and that's going to make the difference? And it's because what we're doing is we're giving the body an instruction that it does it itself. It uses its own innate healing mechanisms. We get them into the groove, and then actually the body does the healing. Mm. So a good example that I give, that I love to give to parents, is your child gets an ear infection. So they're really miserable, they are spiking a fever, they're not eating, you can hardly get any fluid into them, they're crying with the pain, they can't sleep. You try Pamol, it helps for a little bit, it doesn't really do that much, and if it does help, it comes, you know, the symptoms all come raging back at 3 o'clock in the morning. So you give more Pamol and that's kind of what you've got until 9 o'clock in the morning when you can get in to see your doctor. So you go to your doctor, you take your child to the doctor, they're miserable, they're mopey, they're weak, and the doctor prescribes amoxicillin, penicillin, or another antibiotic. So you go home. What's happened is that the body has, the child has developed this complaint. The body has been responding to what's going on and it hasn't quite been able to overcome it. And so when you go to the doctor and you get the antibiotic, you're kind of surrendering the body's capacity to the medicine. So it's like the antibiotic comes in like the army and it says, right, I'm here. And the immune system pretty much goes and sits in the corner while the antibiotic does the job of resolving the problem. All fine. So the child gets better, you know, they get back on with their life. Lo and behold, you know, 2 weeks later, there's another ear infection. So what happens automatically is that the ear infection starts, the immune system goes, well, I didn't know how to do it last time, so I'm just going to go and sit down here in the corner and wait for the army to come back and sort it out. And some children that I've treated over the years may be on their ninth dose of antibiotics in a year, as the doses have got stronger and the duration of taking it has got longer, as the body becomes less, so more and more incapacitated with both the effects of being unwell and not being able to resolve it, and having the antibiotics on board all this time. The difference is, so I see this child, generally I'll see them with another ear infection. The parents are pulling their hair out because it's an ongoing problem that never has resolution. I take the child's case, I look at all the symptoms, I give the remedy. What the remedy does is it says to the body, come on, you can do this. And it gives the instruction that the body needs to start to do effective and efficient recovery and repair. Yeah. And the next time something like that comes along, that body goes, I've got this.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's like often I've seen the child never gets another ear infection again, or they might get one more, almost like a practice run. A month later, it starts to come in and the parent rings and goes, okay, he's got a fever again, I think. And I go, right, go with the remedy now. And often it can just nip it in the bud within 12 or 24 hours, because it's like the body has absolutely got this, because it's resolved it on its own, and child never needs another antibiotic again. It's amazing. Amazing result. And then the doctor rings, 9 months later and says, haven't seen Charlie here for a few months. Mm. And the parent goes, oh yeah, I went to a homeopath and she gave a remedy. And the doctor goes, okay.
It's funny, because I've heard of so many stories where doctors have told their patients, we can't help you. The patient goes and does something outside of Western medicine, gets completely cured, comes back to the doctor, and tells him, hey, it's no longer there. And the doctor's like, okay. But they don't want to know. No, the doctor doesn't ask, how did you do it? Oh, I want to learn. They just go, okay.
Yeah.
It's almost like a...
It probably was going to get better on its own.
Yeah, they'll come up with something, because their paradigm and what they were taught is,
Yeah, doesn't fit in with that.
But I was going to ask, have you had people come to you and you're like, no, go to the doctor or hospital?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I had a woman come to me last week with a spider's bite that she'd got about 7 days earlier. And went to the doctors, and the doctors pretty much said, come back if it gets worse. So it got worse. And she rang me and sent me photos, because we're just at this stage doing it on the phone. I was just doing that initial engagement on the phone. And she sent me some photos of the state of the bite. And I said, if I were you, I'd be going and getting a second opinion on that. I think you need to head in.
Well, so she went in and they didn't do anything the first time.
She went in the first time and they pretty much said, come back if it gets worse.
Oh, right. Okay. Come back if it gets worse. Yep.
And it got worse. And she needed surgery.
She went back
She needed surgery for the bite.
Mm.
So I am conventional medical system, the conventional medical system absolutely is amazing.
Yeah.
I
don't want people to get the wrong idea. It sounds like I'm bashing them. I don't think they're the worst thing since sliced bread, but I think they're the perfect tool for acute situations.
Yes, like absolutely.
Life and, or death, like really emergency situations. The Western medical model is perfect for that. That's what it's there for. But when you've got lifestyle problems and
chronic health is where conventional medicine really lets us down.
It's not designed for that. It's literally not designed for that.
No. And the thing about chronic health is that there's so many factors that are involved in our health and our chronic suffering. And you don't get to explain all those factors to a doctor when you have a 15-minute consult.
And even if you do, the doctor doesn't have the tools to help you long-term.
No, that's right.
Because that's not what they're there for. If you've got a broken arm, don't see Tracy or
don't see me for life
coaching. Go to the hospital and have an x-ray and stuff like that. But
if you've got irritable bowel syndrome and you've had it for 7 years and you've been taking medication for 7 years, it's really good to actually start to look at other factors.
Yeah. It's that sort of chronic
stuff. Because that's the thing. If you've got irritable bowel and you've had it for 7 years and it hasn't been resolved with conventional medicine, you're probably wasting your time.
Or the next step, they'll suggest a surgery.
It's going to be surgery, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So I think, for our chronic health issues, yes. I absolutely think that natural health has it hands down. And there's many beautiful modalities out there that and it's great to have a look at a few of them and find the ones that fit.
Yeah, going back to that like treats like, if your issue came about immediately, maybe that's a Western medicine issue. If your issue took forever, days or months, then maybe seek months or years, then seek natural alternatives.
What often happens is that we develop every person has sort of their own vulnerabilities. So as an example, we are predisposed to certain vulnerabilities by our family history, you know. So as an example, if we have a grandparent or, we have a grandparent who had bowel cancer, for example, that tendency for the vulnerability within the digestive system can be passed down through the generations, and you may end up with symptoms that are something like irritable bowel, constipation, indigestion, some sort of symptoms of the digestive tract. For one person in a family where there might be some bowel cancer in the family history, they may never ever get anything to do, any problem to do with the digestive system, but their sister might. Their sister might end up with constipation as a child, then irritable bowel as a teenager that goes into all sorts of things, maybe some kind of ulcerative colitis or something like that as they get older. And the predisposition has kind of sat there dormant, but given certain factors, it can be sparked into action.
Yeah.
And that's the case with everything. That's the case with that's why it's really important for me to look at, when I'm working with someone, to look at the family history, what has gone beforehand, because then there's a part of this person's story that I may be able to make sense of by looking at what the genetic predisposition
has been. And what you're talking about is epigenetics, right? Which is the idea that in the science that your environment will determine which genes get expressed or not.
Yeah.
And that's based on your lifestyle choices.
That's right.
Yeah.
And stresses.
Yeah.
Stresses of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's based on
experiences of life.
On how you perceive life. Yeah.
And how you respond to life.
So it's not just that your genes are a blueprint and then you're stuck with that. It's your genes are a blueprint, and depending on how you live will determine which parts of the blueprint get made. And which is very empowering, because it means, so I can choose which genes to express or not.
Yes.
Because I know a lot of young girls they get told that they've got the gene for breast cancer and they cut their breasts off. It's like, no, you've got the gene for breast cancer, so don't turn it on.
Yeah,
and that's up to you.
That's right.
And what that usually means is, not eating, drinking excess alcohol, not having foods that are sprayed with Roundup and bad chemicals, and all these sort of lifestyle
staying
factors.
Staying away from hormones, or hormone treatment,
hormone control, birth control, getting to sleep early and stuff. Yeah. Like sleep is really important. But so just getting the point across that your issues have come from your family lineage, but you get to choose. How they play out in your life.
Yeah.
Or maybe they don't, because you've lived a holistic, happy lifestyle.
Yeah. So what people often will say is they'll come to me, they might be in their 40s and they come to me and they've got a complaint. And one of the questions I always ask is, have you ever experienced this before? And it's common, really common, with many issues, that the person will say, not for 20 years, or not since I had something similar when I was 18. And it's like that, what that tells me is that that's a vulnerability that's come right back from then. It got sparked or triggered at 18, and then circumstances have allowed it to kind of settle back down. And then now they're in their 40s, certain circumstances have re-triggered it again. Mm. And the really interesting conversation to have is, what happened at 18 when it first got triggered?
Yeah.
And what you find is there's often a really strong correlation with what happened at 18 and what's happening now at 40.
Yeah.
So the same, it might be, It might be a financial stress, for example. Might be that, you know, at 18 they'd left school and they couldn't get a job and, you know, they had to go on the dole and that created so much kind of mental, emotional stress and these symptoms started coming as a result of that. Then they finally get a job and that stress settles down and eventually the symptoms settle down because their life, you know, at 40 they suddenly made redundant out of the blue. All of a sudden they've got a family that they're supporting and that financial stress has hit them again. Mm. And lo and behold, look, there's that those physical symptoms bubbling back to the surface as a result of that external stress. So looking at what happens for you during that stress, what happens? What is the response for you when financial stress hits? And then getting a really clear picture of what that is. And then for me, matching that story, that response and those reactions in the body to a substance that I know can reverse that or help to get to the bottom of that. That doesn't necessarily mean that those symptoms will go away forever. If that person gets to 55 and they hit another situation of financial stress, it is likely that those symptoms are going to bubble back up again. But this time, they're much more quickly able to go, aha, it's back. Yeah. Oh, yeah, look, it's back because, and what was the remedy I took when I was 40 that took it away? So.
But it's not just that. Like if they saw you, what is the remedy and what was happening around me? Because you bring a lot of awareness to people when they see you, which I think is awesome. That's what I do as well. It's like, it's mainly awareness. When people are aware of of the choices they're making, because a lot of us aren't.
Yeah,
it helps us see ourselves and see what's going on and then we can change and then we forget. And then we go back to, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Tracy said this or Jason said that.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what I really love about my work is that homeopathic medicine aside, that's kind of the gem at the end. But what I really actually love is really getting on board with a client and getting nutting out what exactly is going on here. Mm. Really kind of, I feel like a bit of a detective because I'm trying to get the whole picture together. And the power to a person when they finally get themselves is amazing because they go into their life from that point, making better choices, making better decisions, understanding what's going to trigger, understanding what is not going to work for them, and also knowing when they've been triggered and being able to action the thing that's going to pull them back from that heightened state that they've got into or that illness that they've got into. That bringing back the empowerment of our own health and well-being is one of the most exciting things for me as a homeopath.
So for me, it sounds like health is being centered and grounded in who you are, and being ill and sick is when you're off that center. You've lost your way.
Yeah.
You're not grounded, and homeopathy is a way to get grounded again and be centered again, which is what is going to make you healthy.
And it's also, it is that, absolutely. And it's a pretty amazing medicine because it also can do incredible things for the body when it's taken. It can just it can just activate incredible healing responses very quickly sometimes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that was an awesome chat. How can people find you? How can they work with you?
So I'm in Raglan. I have a clinic at home and for locals, and I also have a big online practice via Zoom where I can see anybody anywhere else in the country or even in the world.
What's the best way to contact you?
Probably the best way to contact me is to email me on
if you want, if you don't mind sharing it.
Yeah, so tracybpotency@gmail.com.
Tracy B.
Potency. So
just one word.
TracyB Potency at gmail.com. Or you can also phone me 027-597-6905.
Cool. I might need to have a session with you. Well, thanks for coming on. That was great.
Great. Cheers. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you once again, Tracy, for coming on the show. I really enjoyed that conversation. I really did learn a lot, and it was interesting for me to do research into the history here in New Zealand to find out it was a big deal back in the day before Big Pharma came and kicked it away. And I really appreciate that you go deep holistically into the person, that you don't treat the disease that the person has, but you treat a human being in front of you that has the disease. And I really love that. And if you'd like to reach out to Tracy, please do. Highly recommend her. I'm going to get a session with her myself. I cannot wait to see what can come of that. And we are very blessed in Raglan to have people like Tracy serving us and being there in that role of helping us find our way to better health. Yeah. So that's it from me. Until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.